to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee. Today we have on the show with us Anne Gager, who holds a PhD in zoology from the University of Washington and completed a postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard. She is senior fellow at the Center for Science and Culture and serves as a scientist at Biologic Institute, as well as director of science communications at the Center for Science and Culture. She joins us again today to share about how chimpanzees and humans differ. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Gager.
Glad to be here.
So, Dr. Gager, what are some physiological and anatomical differences between us and chimps?
Oh, there are quite a few. We have different reproductive systems. Our biology is different with regard to reproduction. Our teeth develop more slowly after birth than chimpanzees' teeth do, which is a good thing for the nursing mother, I suppose. Our young are born profoundly helpless and require prolonged maternal care. Our brains are larger and continue to develop long after birth, forming neurons and connections at a rapid rate. In fact, the density of our neurons is greater than for any other animal, including chimps. Our musculature is weaker. Our thyroid hormone metabolism differs. We get AIDS and malaria, and chimps don't. Our immune systems differ. In fact, they differ enough that the National Institute for Health has said that chimps make poor medical models for us. We shouldn't use chimps as experimental animals for a number of reasons, but specifically because they don't function the same way we do. That's some of their physiological differences. Our anatomical differences, I think everybody can see. We walk and run upright and chimps don't. They habitually would live in trees. So therefore, our feet are different. Ours have arches and a heel to push off and toes for pushing off. Chimps' feet are designed for grasping. We have a spine that's curved. Our neck is longer and the skull is set on top for balance. Our rib cage is free to move side to side to accommodate our gait and to expand for deep breathing during running. Our shoulders are designed for throwing. Chimps are designed for climbing. Our pelvis and hips are oriented to permit upright walking. Our legs angle in, so our feet are underneath us. You can see the list just goes on and on.
How about cultural and behavioral differences?
Well, once again, there are quite a few. Just stop and think about chimp culture versus our culture. I'm going to name just a number of things. We dance, chimps don't. We make music, we write it, we compose it, we perform it, we make instruments. We have art, we draw portraits and landscapes, chimps don't. We think about the past and the future, we plan. We can delay gratification for a long time, years, if not longer. We engage in long-range trade, that's part of planning. We have language, and that is probably the most significant difference between us and chimps. We communicate symbolically. Chimp language is nowhere near as complex as ours, even when they've been trained for years and have learned a few sign symbols. They can't generate complex grammatical sentences. They just string a few words together. Let me give you an example of a complex sentence that we would write. While listening to the radio, I heard a door behind me open and I pulled out my pistol. That's got a number of different ideas in it. That's way more complicated than a chimp would come up with. What else? We have mathematics and art. We domesticate animals. We wear clothing. We control fire. We measure time. And lastly, we practice religion. We have empathy for others, and we care for the infirm and the elderly. So let me conclude by saying, some people may say that these traits are just expanded versions of things that animals have, and that they were honed over time by natural selection to help us compete. But I have to say, our intellect is capable of much more than is necessary for survival, just like our language is. We write plays. Shakespeare. We do calculus. We send rocket ships to the moon. None of these things are necessary for survival on the savannah. Our capabilities are orders of magnitude more sophisticated than anything chimps can do.
One can find simplistic accounts of our evolution on the internet and in museums where they say that one mutation accomplished a large change. How likely is this?
Wow. One mutation accomplishes a large change. Well, in the previous podcasts, I've been detailing all the genetic differences between us and chimps. Just think about it this way. For us to run and walk upright, a group detailed all the differences that would be necessary to go from a knuckle-walking chimp to us. And they counted up 16 different physiological and anatomical differences just to go from walking on knuckles to upright. Now, 16 traits would require at least 16 individual mutations. Here's another example. An enlarged brain, as one story goes, would require significant changes to the jaw and teeth, as well as the brain case. Some people have said that a single mutation could cause changes to the size of our jaw muscles, thereby reducing our jaw size, thereby permitting large brain cases and large brains to evolve. However, as some critics have said, saying evolution works that way is not likely to be true because evolution doesn't work so neatly. Here's a quote from Joseph Varenga's article in the Associated Press, USA Today. He said, "The first early humans with a mutation probably would have had weaker mouths, but still have had large teeth and jaws. Many additional mutations would have been needed. The mutation would have reduced the Darwinian fitness of these individuals," said anthropologist Bernard Wood. "It would have become fixed if it coincided with mutations that reduced tooth size, jaw size, and increased brain size." What are the chances of that? He said. So, to get one mutation to change the whole scope of our skull to allow a larger brain is most unlikely because there are too many different things that need to be changed.
How long would it take then to acquire a specific mutation, or even two mutations, to accomplish a particular anatomical change?
Well, population geneticists have worked on this question. Mutations arise at a regular rate. Once a mutation has occurred in an individual, it has to spread through the population and become what we say is fixed in the population. When it's the only copy in a population, it's not going to be characteristic of the species, for example. So we all share certain features in common. They've become fixed in our population. How long this takes depends on several factors. First of all, is the mutation beneficial? Second, how big is the population it has to spread through? Third, how long is the generation? Finally, the mutation rate itself has an effect. So if you take all these factors into account, you can build a mathematical model to estimate how long it would take to get a particular mutation in a particular spot. The estimates typically end up with it taking between 1.5 million to 6 million years, by different people's calculations, for a single mutation. Now, if you need two mutations to get a phenotype, a difference in behavior or anatomy, it could take between 84 and 216 million years. Now, those are huge numbers, and you have to bear in mind that evolutionary biologists say that we evolved from chimps in a matter of 6 million years. So, in that amount of time, you could fix maybe one specific mutation.
So, it sounds like the neo-Darwinian process is not adequate to explain the differences between us and chimps.
I think that's safe to say.
Well, thank you for coming on the show with us, Dr. Gager, to discuss this important topic.
You're welcome.
This has been Sarah Chaffee for ID the Future. Thank you for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.